Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Holiness, what did he say? He said, be holy, for I am holy. So what is he trying to produce out of our life? It's very simple. He's trying to get us to be holy because he's holy. To be holy because he's holy. You know what? Let me just say this in passing, and I don't have much more. I got a little bit more, but if you're a holy, you're not always going to fit in this world. Let me back up and rephrase that. If you're holy, you're not going to fit in this world. He talks about us being a peculiar people. You say, well, preacher, I just want to fit in. I want people to like me. Well, you know, I'm the same way, just to be quite honest with you. I don't want people looking down their nose at me, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, and I don't want to be a stick in the mud, but at the same time, God's called us to a life of holiness. And can I just say this to you? You don't have to be the stick in the mud. You can live a holy, matter of fact, a holy life is a life better lived than an unholy life. Can I just say this to you? If you'll just be the same all the time, you won't have to worry about changing when you come to church and changing when you go out and trying to fit in with this crowd and this crowd. Just be you. I was listening to Brother Bobby Robertson preach just a few minutes ago. And man, what a great, great man of God Brother Bobby Robertson was. Matter of fact, when he took Gospel Light Baptist Church, he had 154 people the first service he was there. The first service he was his pastor, 154. And I guess whenever he went home to be with the Lord, it's probably a couple thousand, 3,000 that they was running there. And here's what he said. He said, I used to listen to these other preachers, and he talked about Dr. Hiles, and he talked about Dr. Seitler, and it was funny because he changed his voice and made it real deep like Dr. Seitler's was. And he said he called one, and I didn't know his name, and he said he was just a fireball. And he said, I tried to preach like that one time. And he said, I just come to the conclusion, I'm just me, and that's all I can be. I'm just me, and that's all I can be. Can I tell you something? When it comes to holiness, if you'll just draw close to God and you'll live a life pleasing to God, no matter who you're around or what you're doing, you shouldn't have to worry about your language when you're around certain people. You should not. If you change your dress to try to fit in with a certain crowd, something's wrong, man. Something. I'm just telling you tonight, a holy life and a life of holiness and living pleasing to God, I'm telling you, it's a far greater life than you trying to fit in with everybody else and being a hypocrite. That's just plain English, but it's a truth tonight. And he's saying to us, man, you need to be holy as I am holy. You need to come out from the world. You need to be separated. I thought about this, and I'm going to look. There's several of them. I'm just going to look at two of them, though. But different Bible terms that relate to this thing of sanctification. Some terms the Scripture uses, which is in their context, are referring to the process of sanctification, even though they may not use the word sanctification. Let me show you two of them tonight. One of them is this. Go with me to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. It's all right just to use the Bible tonight, isn't it? Romans chapter number 8. And you know, it's really not what I say. If I can't back it up with the Word of God, then what good is it? Then what? If the preacher, if the teacher, if they can't back it up with the Word of God, then what good is it? Here's what the Bible said. Here's what the Bible said. Bible said this in Romans chapter number 8. And you say, preacher, you're just harping on a pet peeve. No, I'm telling you something that I struggle with every day of my life. And that's a life of sanctification. Why? Because we're the flesh. Today, I know how to push my wife's buttons. Are y'all with me right there? And some of y'all do too. And today I could tell that she was a little bit on the edge. So Brother Aaron, I was just kind of, I hit 8 or 10 buttons probably throughout the day. I can't remember one of the things that I said. And Madeline was like, she was telling me to stop. And Leslie said this: "It's a good thing I am living a crucified life today, because in the flesh I would say a whole lot more back to you." And I was like, "Well, you better nail that piece back down, because you just about got in the flesh when you said that." She got in the flesh even a little bit more. But anyway, we all struggle with it on a daily basis. Every one of us does. And I'm telling you, the Lord, there was a time when sanctification was taken serious. I'm just being honest with you. There was a time when living a holy life was taken serious. I mean that. And if we're not careful, the devil's really good. And I'm headed back to these words I'm going to show you. But the devil's really good in pulling us away from sanctification and making us think it's okay. Making us think, if you have to question it in your mind, then it's probably not okay. It's probably not okay. I thought about this, and it's going to get tighter than a tick on a dog's back right now. But I remember a day when Sunday was holy. I remember growing up and Sunday was holy. I remember, but I'm about positive on this. And again, I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. I'm pretty sure I'm right. The first time I ever eat out on a Sunday was after Leslie and I was on the road with Rock of Ages and was traveling in between churches, and we didn't have no choice. If we was going to eat that day, we stopped to eat out. I grew up, we didn't go out to eat on Sundays. I told you it's going to get tighter than a tick on a dog's back. Right? We didn't go out to eat on Sundays. My mama cooked every Sunday, and we sat down at the dinner table every Sunday, and we eat lunch at the dinner table every Sunday. And I understand that there's times that we're traveling. I understand that there's times that you may be in the hospital. But I'm going to tell you something, man, the Lord's just really been smacking me over the back of the head. And here's what God asked me this week. Well, what's changed? You know, we want to say, well, we ought not work on Sunday. We ought to be in the house of God. But then we'll run to the restaurant and sit down in the restaurant to make somebody work on Sunday to feed us, because we just don't want to cook or whatever. What has changed in our life? You say, well, preacher, this is 2024. I know that. I understand that. But God's still God. And He said, "For I am the Lord thy God, and I change not." Now, I'm just telling you what God's whooping me over, okay? I'm not saying that you're sinning, and there's times that we still do. But I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to try my best to make it a habit from here on out to get back to a time where it was a holy day. It was a holy day. Sanctification, it's progressional. It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. I eat different places, but one place that I try to eat at as much as I can. Matter of fact, 99.999% of the time, if I'm eating in Dobson, it's where I'm going, and it's Central Cafe. For two reasons. Number one, because they're closed on Sundays. Number two, because they don't serve alcohol. And you know what? You can go in that place anytime and it's packed with people. You can go in there and it's packed. Let me tell you the reason why. God honors that. God honors that, and He calls us. Man, I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you the Bible. I'm telling you what God's speaking to me about, what God's helping me about. It's a progressional sanctification. There was a day when a holiness was a whole lot bigger deal than what it is today. One thing that I was taught, I'm going to give you, it's just 10 minutes till 7. One thing that I was taught is that you never, Brother Matt, this is what I was taught. You never walked into the church with a hat on your head. You just didn't do it. You didn't do it. I'm telling you, if you did, and my daddy was there, he was smacking it off of your head. You can tell you what it was. You was taught a reverence for the house of God. It was somewhere different. It was a holy place, man. It was a holy place. And if you want holiness in your life, you need to go to a holy place and hear holy preaching and holy standards. And man, it's a work in progress each day of our life. We should pray, God, help me to be a little bit closer to you. God, show me these things. God, help me with these things. And here's what I'm finding, man. When you go to praying and asking God to help you and to get you closer to Him, you may not like some of the things He shows you in your life. Are you with me? You may not like some things He shows you. It might be some things that you really like that's not necessarily a sin, but He said, let us lay aside every weight. And it's a weight in our life. And He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. But sometimes to draw nigh, there's got to be some weights that is disposed of for us to get closer to Him, a progression of sanctification. Let's look what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. My pastor told me this when I started preaching. He said, if it's not helping you, it's not going to help nobody else. And I'm going to tell you something, man. The Lord has wore me out over some of these things over the past few weeks. Verse 9, and I'm not complaining about that. I'm glad He speaks to me. Can I get an amen right there? Romans chapter number 8. Look in verse number 28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Boy, we like that, don't we? Somebody say amen right there. Well, look in verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestined to be, here's a word, conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstfruit among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestine, them He also called, and whom He called, them also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. This word conformed simply means having the same form of another. Verse 28 through 30, God is simply saying that it is His will that the believers, those who are the called according to His purpose, all the way to their glorification, take on the form of Jesus Christ, His Son. The process of sanctification is to conform us to His image so that we as Christians are Christ-like. The word conformed is also used in Philippians 3 where He says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Listen to this. Paul wanted not only to be identified positionally in the death of Christ, but he wanted to live a life of denying or a life of dying to the carnal man. Just as Jesus died and rose again, Paul wanted to die to self and sin and to share in the resurrected life of Christ, which is a life of victory. How does he do that? He does it by this, by dying to self. By dying to self. Conforming to Christ is not just us living a more separated life from this world, but it involves our hearts, our souls, and our minds. Our thoughts, our purposes, and our desires should be those that would conform to His. In other words, my thoughts should be His thoughts. My ways should be His ways. How do I do that? How am I conformed to Christ? How am I having the same form of another? It's by me putting me to the side and walking in newness of life. Man, what an illustration. He said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Watch what he says. The fellowship of his suffering. Death was not a joyable task to the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered a physical, painful death. And can I say something to you? When you learn to die to your flesh, it's not always joyable, but it is always rewarding. It is always rewarding. So there's the word conformable. Let me show you one more. There's the word transformed. Listen to what your Bible said in Romans chapter number 12. You're right there at it. Romans chapter number 12. I promise you, I'm just trying to help us tonight. Man, we want God to bless our church. Let's be a holy church. Amen. We want sinners to be saved when they come in here. Then we've got to be right. Our life's got to be right. Our life's got to be pure. So we are not quenching the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he said. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look in verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, here it is, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This verse has both a negative and a positive command. The believer is not to be conformed to this world. We just looked at the word conformed. We're not to be molded to this world. Let me tell you what, and don't nobody fall out with me right now, but what a liberal school system tries to do, they try to conform you to their way. How many young people have you seen and they go to church, they say they get saved, then they go off to college somewhere, they leave mom and daddy, they leave the local church. Did you catch that? They leave mom and daddy, they leave the local church, they go off to college somewhere, and within a year or two, they're Fruit Loops. Now, I'm not saying every one of them, but a lot of them. Let's just be real about it. They're Fruit Loops, man. They think that their ancestors swung from a tree. Are you with me? They don't know if they're a he or a she or a shim. What happened? They was conformed to this world. I am all for. There's so many things that you can do through a community college. I'm all for staying with a local church and going to school at home if you can. I'm all for that. That went over like a lead balloon, but it's just the truth. Why? Because this world will conform them to something. You are right now or soon will be what your friends are. And if all you do for 8 hours a day for 4 years of your life is listen to a liberal professor, if you're not careful, you're going to come out a liberal. So he says this, the first command is this, that we are not conformed to this world. But this verse also has a positive command. Look at this. The believer is to be transformed in contrast to being conformed to this world. The Greek word transformed right there is the word metamorpho, which is where we get our English word metamorphosis, which the Greek meant. But what a lot of people try to do today is, Miss Shannon, they try to clean the fish before they ever catch the fish. They try to push a standards and a separation on somebody before they ever get saved, and it produces a life of rebellion towards Christianity and separation. If you'll get saved by the grace of God, there'll be a work that'll take place from the inside out. And that's what he is saying. He is saying that we are transformed. There is a metamorphosis takes place. We are made into a, what did the Bible say? A new creature. A new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. Why? Because we are transformed. We have a progressive sanctification that is going on. Now I want to ask you this question. I'm done tonight. I'm going to ask you this question. Internet was down today, and I had to handwrite a lot of stuff because you couldn't type and print it. Couldn't use my device, and about halfway liked it, just to be honest with you. I did all right off of, scratched out some notes tonight. But think about this. I want to ask you this question in closing tonight. Madeline, do you care to go to the piano and play something? I want to ask you this question in closing. You remember when you got saved? You remember after you got saved, that desire to serve the Lord, that desire to live for Him. I want to ask you this question tonight. Was there a time in your Christian life, was there a time in your saved life, in your Christian life, that, I'll use the word sanctification because we've been using that word, that your sanctification was better than what it is tonight? Was there a time that you held a higher standard, that you was more separated? Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? If the answer is yes, then I want to ask you another question. What changed? What, have you ever seen people drop their standard? If you hadn't, go online and watch some church services tonight. Let me take it a step further. What is your scripture for dropping your standard? What is the scripture for that? If there was a time that you lived a holier life than you live right now, and again, church, I'm just being real with you. I'm just talking to you from my heart tonight. I'm not standing up on pews screaming and hollering saying you're going to hell if you wear makeup as a woman, and I'm just giving you my heart tonight. If there was a time that in your home, let me talk to the daddies for a minute. Let me talk to the husbands and the heads of the home for just a minute. There was a time in your home that you held a tighter standard than you hold today. What changed? What changed? Where did we change at? That's just some things that I've been asking myself. And if we did, then Brother Aaron, where's the Bible for that? Is that standard that we have in our home now that we have dropped to, is it lining up with the Bible? Is it in line with God's Word? I just don't know that we can ever find a verse for dropping standards. I just don't know that we can. You say, well, preacher, are you saying that we're to be a fanatic? I'm just saying that God wants us to be holy. You said, preacher, are you saying that we should do that? I'm just saying God wants us to be holy. That's what I'm saying to us tonight. I want to see sinners saved. You know, I just said, I want to see people saved. The whole goal of the local New Testament Baptist Church is souls to be saved. That's the whole goal of the church. The whole goal of the pastor is for souls to be saved. My goal for pastoring is not to hold your hand when you stump your toe. And my whole goal in pastoring, please don't get upset with me, is not just to be there with you when things go south. My whole goal in pastoring is to rescue souls from hell. That's the church. We've got church all jacked up anymore. It's not a social club. It's not a drama club. It's not a place where we just come and hang out for an hour and a half. No, this is a holy place. This is the sanctuary of God, and there ought to be an old-time Holy Ghost conviction when sinners walk in this place. And the only way that that'll ever be is if there is old-time holiness in the life of the believer. So how is our sanctification tonight? How is our holiness tonight? How is our separation tonight? How is our living for Him tonight? You want to be closer to God? Then you start asking God what it is in your life that's hindering you from being closer to Him. And I promise you, you'll see things start tightening up a little bit. Because it's holiness. So many times that's what hinders. I'm just giving you my heart. That's what hinders our relationship with Him. That's why. Well, I tell you, I just don't know. We hold this standard and for young people, it's going to go somewhere. We hold this standard, and just to be real, we've held it for 17 years. Why change it now? Why change from that now? Why back up from that now? Why we didn't get to where we're at because we didn't have holiness? Because you grow. I'm done. Because you grow don't mean you drop standards. Because you're growing don't mean you, well, we've got to change things to grow. No, everything we've been doing for the past 38 years at Amazing Grace is evidently the Lord's been pleased in it. So how's our holiness to Him tonight, Father?